It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's bound it down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done?
And welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, your CBD store in West Mobile, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Yes, sir. Ed's Fabulous Seafood Shed and Ed's Fabulous Seafood Shed. I'll see if I can get Mr. Nick to give us a call here in a little while, but then this... was it the Saturday and Sunday at the Ed Seafood Shed will be a Toys for Tots collection. So
those weekend brunches are getting more and more popular, aren't they?
They have become an awesome venue for them. They're really loving that. Well, a lot of the people are loving it. That's the only breakfast on the causeway.
That's right.
And they're doing a great job with the types of food that they're serving. And I had one of them big old cathead biscuits over there the other day. They give you a saucer sometimes, or a saucer to put that coleslaw in.
Mm-hmm.
My biscuit covered that whole dang saucer.
I'm envious, man. Now, Tom, because all I've been eating is them Grand refrigerated biscuits.
No, man. This is a Southern cathead with some innovations from Pennsylvania Dutch.
Oh, wow.
From Nick's family.
Yeah.
And it is unbelievable, man.
Sounds like quite a combination.
Yep. He's mixed those two, and he's got them, you know.
Now, if you've got a real appetite, can you eat your way into lunch?
Right. You'll just keep right on eating.
Yeah, that's right. Grazing.
Hey, how about some fried bologna for breakfast?
Mm-hmm.
Thick bologna. They're slicing it themselves.
Well, I actually like sliced bologna, fry it, and then put a scoop of mashed potatoes or something on top of it.
Ain't nothing wrong with all that.
Yeah.
Have you ever put some good syrup on it, or some molasses, maple syrup, you know, and man, shoot, just go and make a dang mess and get it over.
Amazing what kind of meal you make out of
people. Let's turn off the radio station.
Let's just go. We'll get them to get started now.
Yeah. Are they still open? We'll just shut her down and go eat.
Yeah, they open.
We got a caller.
Caller, you're on air. What can we do for you?
All right. Thank y'all for taking my call, okay?
Yes, sir.
I got a question.
Okay.
My son left here 12 noon Saturday going to Huntsville, Alabama.
Uh-huh.
He was in the right lane doing a speed limit, and a guy hit him from the rear. Luckily, he was driving. You know, he hit him while they both was moving.
Right.
But he has an 2014 Hyundai Sonata. Now, I messed up the bumper, so when the state troopers and everybody came, luckily he was okay.
Yep, that's a blessing.
And the state troopers came and everything. He didn't want to stay in Hope Hill, Alabama overnight.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did, the bumper came loose, they took the bumper off, and they tied his truck down, and they told him he was going to Huntsville, say, just do the speed limit, you'll be able to make it.
Right.
So he's up there now, and he went through his insurance, and he's taking it to the dealership to get it repaired.
Right.
My question, you think it's a possibility that I don't know, but 5 more months on the car, and I'm hoping it don't get totaled out.
Right, right.
But is it possible for maybe the A-frame, anything to get bent? Now, the car wasn't standing still. That's the good thing about it. When he got hit, they both were moving.
Right. Well, you know, anything's possible.
Is it that the insurance company repaired and not totaled it out and make me pay notes for couple of more years?
Right. You know, it's always hard to tell unless you're looking at it, and even then, until you get it tore down, it's hard to tell exactly what's bent. You know, I wouldn't suspect, you know, suspension damage, you know, from getting hit square in the rear, but what you've got to worry about is the structure, you know, back there around the trunk area, and that how much of that's damaged, because, you know, it's it doesn't take much to run up a big bill, you know, on body damage, you know, these days, because there's so many regulations in that you got to go through. It all has to be done right.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I'm assuming the airbags didn't deploy.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, because, you know, being hit from behind, and that's a big benefit, and that's a big cost savings in the accident. All you can really do is see what it's going to take care of it. You know, we kind of run into this with someone here recently that had really what I thought was minor body damage on a little bit older car, which was really low mileage, and these are people that are up in years and really didn't want to have to buy another car.
Yeah, I said only had about it's only got 65,000 on. I bought it brand new, you know.
Right. But, you know, they were, you know, it ended up being a few hundred dollars over what it would take to total it. So, you know, it ended up totaling, and there really is no way around, you know, it being totaled. So
I'm guessing the Blue Book value may be $7,000-$9,000. Maybe if it's less than $5,000, I'm hoping they're going to repair it, you know.
Right. Well, it takes, what, 70%?
70%, yeah. The last figure I heard. Like,
so
what it was?
70% of the value of the vehicle to total one.
Oh,
so,
man. He did say once he got to Huntsville, he said he noticed a little shaking in the back. I guess it could have been knocked out of line, couldn't it?
Well, and like I say, anything is possible. You know, but like I say, being hit square in the rear, going down the road when both of you still moving, you know, that will that kind of eases that pain a little bit, you know. So so maybe it didn't do any real structure.
Like out of red light or nothing, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And he hollering about he want a Mustang. I said, boy,
hey,
he better drive that. I'm hoping he could drive a couple more years and put some money away, you know.
Tell him he can drive whatever he can afford, huh?
Anything in his little pocketbook will handle is what he can drive.
And let me say this before y'all go. I come in when y'all talk about eating, but when I was a little boy, I hadn't ate it since. But have you ate chicken feet and rice?
Ooh. Yes, sir. Chicken. I have gnawed on a toenail of a chicken.
Well, all I could do now is wait till the justice, Tim. I hope you don't toll it out.
There
you
go.
You know?
Yep.
All you can do is wait and see now.
Yeah. So.
All right, but I know you're going
to
help out a possible.
Wait till you got 5 more months to pay for something like this to happen.
Boy, they call that our kind of luck.
Well, the other side of that, if you don't have gap insurance, it could have happened early on when it would have totaled out, and you wouldn't have got the full value, the full cost of the vehicle back, and you'd still been paying on it. So,
well, you say the insurance going to pay 70% of it if they told it out.
They'll pay you the full value of the vehicle, but if the value of the vehicle doesn't come up to as much as what you owe on it, you still owe that difference. So
I think I owe all about $2,000 on it.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's covered, so that's not a big deal. But like I say, if you get in a wreck with one that's fairly new, you can get in a hole pretty quick. So,
and he didn't have no $2,000 set of rims on it, neither.
Yep, there you go. All right, well, I appreciate you calling in. We got another caller. So, caller, are you with us?
Go ahead.
Hey, this is Nick.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
Yes.
What's going on, man?
We're just talking about cars a little bit. Talking about eating, of course.
And food.
And food. Man, I was telling them about the big old biscuits you had over there covered that whole dang the saucer that I had there. I was going to put my coleslaw in.
You what now?
That big old biscuit that you got over there in the breakfasts in the mornings.
No, man. They're bigger than your ears.
I know it. I told him that you had made a combination there of the cathead biscuits and some of those southern or the Pennsylvania whatever type biscuits and all, and made a combination out of them.
Like Amish country biscuits?
There you go.
We got that peach preserve we serve them with as well.
Ooh, that is some kind of good. I tell them about that bologna sandwiches or bologna you cook over there too, man.
Yeah, Hall's. That Hall's bologna, that omelet, man, that's some deep south stuff right there.
Ooh. Did you ever come up with the tomato gravy for that?
Yeah, what we do is we actually use the tomato broth from the gumbo.
Oh, my Lord.
Pretty darn close, and we drizzle that over top of the stone ground grits, so it gives you that tomato flavor. pretty damn good.
All right, how about let's take it a little break here, Nick, and let's take a break and come right back, and we'll continue our conversation with you, buddy.
Yeah, we still got about 30 seconds.
We got 30 seconds?
Yeah, we still got just a little bit, and then we'll take a break.
Well, about 15.
Yeah, so.
All right. Well, we can kill all that time. What about the what's some of the other specials you got on at breakfast menu on the Rise and Shine?
Well, we got cornmeal pancakes. We got our version of chicken and waffles, which is beignets and waffles.
Ooh.
Put fried chicken over, fried thigh meat over top of beignets, and then drizzle a little syrup and powdered sugar. It is delicious.
Can y'all serve that right now?
Yeah, we're thinking of shutting down and coming over to see you.
Shut down and go eat.
Well, we got a new menu coming out. We're introducing something I'm real proud of called Causeway Hot Fish. And what we do is we do it like Nashville hot chicken, but we're doing our version of hot fish, and we use local catfish and brush it with our own basting hot rub, and then we top it with our Bama white barbecue sauce.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's the next champion, I think, at Ed's. I think that's going to be a signature item for us, for sure.
That's going to be awesome.
Sounds like it. I tell you what, Nick, why don't you hang on, because when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about your Toys for Tots thing you got going on,
too. All right.
But
right on.
It's time for us to take a break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hey, how about you, Alabama? Roll on.
Roll on, highway. Roll on along. Roll on, daddy, till you get back home.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But in the meantime, we've got Nick from Ed's Seafood Shed online with us. And Nick, good to have you back. But
thanks for having me.
Christmas is right around the corner now. We're through Thanksgiving, we can talk about Christmas. So
right.
I know everybody starts that just a little early sometime, but it's time for it now for sure. But let Tom get in with you on your Toys for Tot program you got going.
Nick, you guys are working with 3rd Force Recon Marine Corps detachment that is here in the Gulf Coast area, and in Mobile in particular, but and with their Toys for Tots program that they do every year. We're accustomed to the fact that if you're going to their Ed's during this period of time, now you drop off a toy there. Now, also, if you're in the Baldwin County, you can go to Sunset Point, and that's a drop-off point as well. What are y'all playing any other part within this Toys for Tot deal for that Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, well, so Saturday and Sunday, you know, we're featuring breakfast, Rise and Shine breakfast, and we got Santa coming.
Santa's coming
to hang out.
Woo!
On Saturday and Sunday, take pictures with the kids, and then, you know, the Marines will be there for breakfast and staying through most of the day to get as many toys as they can for the kids.
Okay. Now, is that both days?
Both days, Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. But we
open at 8.
Santa Claus will only be there on Saturday.
No, Santa's going to be there Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, both days. All right. That's cool. I didn't catch that.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
It'll be a fun time. Great breakfast. Santa will be there. And, you know, it's a great cause. The Marines are, they came to us and said, you know, we'd like to be a drop-off point. We said, no, man, we want to be more than a drop-off point. Let's get Santa here. And they're like, oh, man, let's do it.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is so neat. Good folks.
But now the toys that they're asking the people to bring are unwrapped new toys. So
yes,
that they don't want
new toys.
Yeah, they don't want them wrapped because they want to be able to see the toy so they can determine whether it goes to a boy or girl, and also the age of the youth would be a consideration as well, so that they can determine what toy to give to what age a boy or what age girl. So it's really neat that you guys have stepped up to do this, and also that if you've got the location at the it's on the Causeway Sunset Point. How about the Squid Ink? You're using that as well?
Yeah, I mean, any of our locations, they're welcome to drop it off. Our two main drop-offs will be Sunset Point and Ed's, but they're welcome to drop off at either location.
Right.
Either of the all four locations.
Okay, but Santa Claus will only be at the Ed's facility on the Causeway.
Santa can only be in one place.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, can't spread him thin. We can't clone him. What about, now, give us the time again on Saturday and Sunday for Santa Claus.
So we open at 8. And I think Santa's going to be there around 9 o'clock.
Okay.
He'll be there for 2 hours.
That's awesome.
Saturday and Sunday.
Awesome. That's great. Anything else that we need to bring for?
No, man. We just get out there, bring some toys, and support the kids. Come see Santa and come have a great time. We're looking forward for everybody to coming out. Football's over.
Football's over now, man, for us.
Come on down.
All the football that counts anyway.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
Over, so that's okay. So
yeah, nobody's going. Nobody that we know is going to the national game except maybe LSU.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Hey, it's their time. Let them do their thing.
Oh, it is. It's time. Go do it. See if they can. They Ohio's gonna whip them anyway.
Yeah, the water boy's gonna get his shot.
Thank you, Nick. You have a blessed one, brother.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, buddy.
All right, bud. And it looks like we have another caller online. Caller, are you with us?
James. I am, yeah. How are y'all doing tonight?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing pretty well. I got an old 97 Ford F-250 with the 5.8 liter 351, I guess probably a modified.
Right.
Man, I have flushed and flushed and flushed this thing out. And I mean, for many times, for long periods of times, I've used the Prestone flush kit. And the liquid that comes with it.
Yeah.
And you can't flush the rust out of it. I mean, I can have the water running through this thing for an hour, and it will not stop coming out.
Right.
I changed the water pump not too terribly long ago. Well, I say not too terribly, a couple of years ago anyway.
Right.
New thermostat. I'm just, I'm kind of lost where all that rust could be coming from.
Well, and kind of what happens is the sediment gets in the bottom of the block, and you have you sit there and you flush it, and it starts running clear. Well, as soon as you hook the hose back up and it gets hot and it builds up temperature again and pressure, it starts moving that sediment again, and it picks it up and it starts going. It's almost impossible to get a cooling system 100% clean in a motor that has gotten really rusty and really nasty looking. One of the key things you got to do is just, first off, take the thermostat out. You know, make sure it doesn't have a thermostat in it. Take your upper hose loose at the radiator. Leave the cap on. Open the petcock in the bottom of the radiator. Stick your hose in the upper inlet to the radiator and crank it up and just let it sit there and run. And what that does is that'll have clean water going in the radiator, and your water will dump out of the bottom of the radiator, and it will also flow through the motor and come back out of the upper hose and never get back to the radiator. Whatever's coming out doesn't get back to the radiator.
That's the big thing right there.
Yeah. And if you have the thermostat out of it and you have a good flow of water coming out of that upper hose, it'll never get hot. So
sure.
So that's not a problem. And about every 15, 20 minutes, just take and stick the upper hose back on, take the cap off, and just kind of keep it topped off and let it build a little bit of temperature with the water that's in it, and then kind of keep going through that process.
A little bit more.
Yeah. And once you get it to where it's good and clean, your best bet is just go ahead and let it drain down, put your thermostat back in, fill it up with coolant, and and run it for a month or so, and then go through the process again. And it'll be dirty. It'll look dirty. That stain inside that block, you know, anytime you've seen just a piece of metal laying on something and it rust, it leaves that rust stain. Well, guess what? That rust stain is what's creating that look as it comes out. It's not really doing any damage, but, you know, it takes a long time to ever get that to work all the way out. So,
I got you.
Okay. That's about all I can tell you. The real cure is to pull the motor out, tear it down, go through it, and replace everything and get the sediment out of it, you know. And nobody wants to have to go through all that. So, I do know I had a 90-model Chevrolet truck that I kept having heater core issues with. And, I mean, it got to the point where I was putting heater core in it about every 2 months.
My Lord. Okay.
Went through, and obviously electrolysis had set up in the cooling system. For lack of, being lazy and not flushing
lack of maintenance.
Okay. And, I kept cooling in it. I didn't let it get low.
You
I
didn't know anybody
that worked on cars, you know. And I'm sitting there and constantly, I'm flushing this thing and I'm hooking ground wires up and I'm checking voltage getting into the coolant. And, it had gotten up to 2 to 3 volts of current in
the
radiator.
Bunch.
That was a lot.
Ooh, that's a bunch. That'll eat up anything, man. Yeah, load them.
I got it down. Even when I got it down to the point where I could read no voltage in the radiator, I was still eating heater cores. The only way I finally cured it was the motor finally died. I killed it, okay?
Yeah, you killed it.
I killed it.
They called it F-O-O-T,
yeah.
Foot,
well, I was,
on the accelerator.
Or a shotgun.
90 miles an hour.
With a trailer and a truck on the back of it. But,
when it come unglued.
Well, it burned a piston, so it was time to go
Couldn't
through.
Can you just shoot the motor?
Well, I wanted something to be able to build, but
wanted to build another damn motor. Let's be truthful, okay? Yep. He didn't like that one no more.
But once I went through and built the new motor or rebuilt the motor, I used the same block.
Yeah.
Had it vatted, cleaned all the sediment out, put it back together.
New freeze plugs.
New freeze plugs, of course, and all new stuff, and never had another heater core
fail. Oh, heck no.
So. It absolutely cured it. So it's an expensive cure.
F-O-O-T, foot.
Yeah. So anyway.
Lack of B-R-A-I-N.
Brain. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Illegal alcohol. His daddy made the whiskey. Son, he drove low. When his engine roared, they called the highway Thunder Road. Sometimes into Asheville, sometimes Memphis town. The revenueers chased him, but they couldn't run him down. Each time they thought they had him, his engine would explode. He'd go by like they were standing still on Thunder Road.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But I know I'm hoping everybody had a safe and happy Thanksgiving.
I certainly hope so, too.
I went out to Texas to spend some time with my son, his wife, and my brother.
Did you eat any meat while you was out there? Any
We had some turkey. We had some ham. We had some a little bit of everything, really.
You high of any of them are baked Texas steaks?
No, we didn't do steak this time.
That's why you go to Texas.
Well, it's kind of hard to, once you have the... have all that stuff on Thanksgiving, it's kind of hard to get rid of enough of it to justify going
can't
out anywhere
it,
else
man.
To do it.
Can't do it. Yeah. So, I know people are still eating at leftovers from Thanksgiving Day.
Looks like we got a caller, though. Caller, are you with us?
I am.
What can we do for you?
Well, I'm just kind of curious with all these newer
vehicles and the lighter oils and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Are the good old-fashioned treatments we used to use for a little oil use as they rack up miles still good, or is this asking for trouble? I mean, used to go from a 1030 to a straight 30 or a 40 or throw in the Bardol or the STP or whatever.
Dang, that's some words I hadn't heard in a while.
Yeah, yeah. You know.
Well, I probably should add, I traded in my 97 Ford Explorer with 380,000 miles on it last year.
Dang, you just did get out of the warranty period.
Yep, just barely made it out, and I'd have probably kept it except that on that model, you have to take the whole dash apart to change out the door hinges.
Oh, yeah.
And it just wasn't quite worth the investment.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, it's with the newer motors, the clearances they have, and not only the clearances, but the all the oil activated devices that they have inside the motors for cams and lifters and all this kind of stuff. I don't really recommend going to a higher, thicker oil. And that being said, you know, the Lucas and the STP and those kind of additives, it's just a really thick oil, you know.
Right.
Not really a good idea for them because they don't tend to like, you know, that thick, you know, oil trying to get it moving, you know, when it's cold.
Right.
You know, once it gets up to temperature, it'll work fine, you know, but those cold starts and that kind of stuff, it can cause some issues. The big thing is if you've got one, change the oil and change it often, you know.
It's using about a quart between changes, and I'm not seeing puddles in the driveway or anything like that.
Did you say what year the car was that you had and what you had now?
This is an 012 Impala.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and how often do you change an oil in the Impala?
3,000 to 4,000.
Yeah.
I'm still old school.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where I was sending you. Yeah. Because.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. Still don't, you know.
Yeah.
Those 6,000 mile oil changes. Just, I don't know who drives in those conditions, but not me.
Yeah, and, you know, and the life monitor on it can take you as far as, like, 7,500 miles. And
yeah.
Never been a fan of that, not going to be a fan of that. I don't care who does what and what kind of oil you want to put in them. You know, my car, and, you know, my wife drives a 2018 Equinox. It gets the oil changed every 3,000 miles. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm paying for it just like everybody else. Yeah, so... run it through the shop just like anybody else's car. So I mean, I'm not getting it for free. That's why I'm doing it more often. No, that's not the case. Yeah, and it's not that I'm doing it myself. So I'm doing it cheaper. I run mine through the shop just like anyone. And
no, but it's cheap insurance for the engine.
Well, you know, and that's the thing is you cannot hurt a motor by changing oil too often. You know?
No.
I've seen it too many times. A motor that was changed on the life monitor schedule, you get 50, 60,000 miles down the road, you pull the valve cover off of it, and there's sediment built up in that motor. And everything I said about the thicker oil and it not liking that, it really doesn't like that sediment in there.
Right.
You know, there's too many things going on with controls on the cams and lifters and all that kind of stuff. To let it get built up inside the motor, you know. So, and with yours, you know, GM's accepted, and most of the industry's accepted usage level is a quart every 2,000 miles. So, you know, at a 3,000 mile interval, a quart and a half is acceptable. You know, if it's a quart or less, I'm good with it. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, just go with it. You're good. It really wouldn't hurt to put a little additive like a Tecron or something like that in the tank. Just let it run through your fuel system. It does a couple things. It helps keep the fuel system clean. It also gets into cylinders, and it breaks some of that sediment loose around the rings and helps them seal a little better. Because what happens, it's kind of a slippery slope type thing. You start using a little oil which puts more oil on the top side of the piston, which gets into the rings, which makes it use more oil, which causes the rings to seal less, which causes more oil use.
Right, right. It's just a vicious circle.
And it's just a vicious circle, and it just gets worse and worse. If you can kind of clean the top side of that piston and free up those rings a little bit from the top side, it goes a long way with keeping everything working well.
It sounds kind of weird
all
that you
the
could,
time. It just, you know, every few tankfuls it gets Lucas or – you know, one of the top cylinder treatments, even the good old Marvel Mystery Oil.
There you go.
Yeah, hey, it's all good.
All of it works, brother. Yep. And it's in the fuel.
In the fuel.
Right. How many miles do you have on the Impala?
120.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't trade cars too often, do you?
No.
No.
Yeah, no point in that.
He's like me. He drives them till the wheels get squared, then he buys some old wheels and runs them again.
Well, you know, it's not that I need the shiny new Ford, Chevy, Buick, whatever, every year or two.
Mm-hmm.
I need good service and reliable, and you know, as long as it does that,
that's all.
I'm fine with it.
It gets point A to point B and back.
Find something else to do with that money.
That old Ford had to have a transmission done, but that was it.
Yep.
Right. Well, when it gets to a point where you're spending as much on repairs as it would be for a car note, it makes sense to go get a new car.
Yeah, then it's time.
Yeah. But if you can keep it running and not having to spend a fortune on it, still looks decent, it's presentable, it runs and drives, everything works, you know, what's the real point? I mean, I know the sales people I work with probably won't agree with that.
Well, they're cussing you right now. Let's face it.
I'm sure.
There are enough people who want that new car every few years, and they'll keep doing it. I'll find one that's been taken care of and probably buy a used car.
Yeah. Right.
There you go.
Right. Well, and that's, you know, there's room for everybody when it comes to that because you have, you know, the people that do want a new car every year or 2 years or 3 years. That gives a used vehicle back to the market that doesn't have a bunch of miles on it, doesn't have a bunch of wear and tear on it. For someone like yourself that doesn't have to have the latest greatest model, you know, but just wants good dependable vehicle, you know, transportation.
So
absolutely, it's best for everybody. I mean, it works out well for everybody.
Give it a shot and keep cleaning it.
Just keep an eye on it. Keep changing the oil like that, and I think you'll be fine. Okay?
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you. Well, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Kevin, I got a useless question from my file.
Okay.
What did you call the was it a life monitor?
It's the oil life system monitor.
Okay. And here's the question. And it can be set out as far as 7,500 miles.
Well, it's not that we set it.
Yeah.
You know, you reset it when you do your oil change, and the computer has an algorithm that takes into account your driving style, how often you're driving it, you know, are you getting it up to temperature every time? Are you going running on highway in town? Did you get the motor overheated or is it, you know,
right.
And all this kind of stuff. It takes into a lot of factors, and it decides when you should get your oil changed.
Okay, but now my question was, if let's say it stretches out to 6,000, but every 3,000 you're changing it,
right?
You just reset it each time you change your oil.
That's what I do.
So
I
you can't it adjust time. It where it'll go off every 3,000.
No, there's no adjustment on it. You know, and there's manufacturers out there like BMW's one of them that their recommended oil change interval is. It's based off the same system, okay? It has its own little thing. But on average, it's going to tell you to change oil about every 15,000 miles.
Ooh,
And I'm sorry. It's just...
They haven't ridden with my wife.
Well, you know, I've worked around those cars a good bit, and I've seen cars that were changed by the life system every time, gotten to 40,000-50,000 miles, and we had to go on the motor, and there was sludge built up in it.
Waited too long.
And I've told customers that have asked me about it, is like, okay, I know BMW has their system, their schedule where they pay for the maintenance, and they only pay for it by the life system. Okay, so if it's by their system, it's going to be every 15,000 miles or so. Okay, if it's my car and I'm going to keep it beyond the warranty period, that will keep it in warranty standards, and they'll have to warranty it. But if I'm going to keep it beyond that, I'm going to pay for an oil change every 7,500 miles. So I pay for one, they pay for one. Right. I pay for one, they pay for one.
Right.
So
yeah, it's a good plan.
That way it's it's getting the oil changed every 7,500 instead of every 15.
Well, one of the biggest factors that we haven't even discussed is, in fact, we're talking about changing the oil, is if our cars are properly taken care of and properly tuned, they don't run hot and also they don't deteriorate the oil itself as much as whatever little wear particles are found or anything, then the oil filter needs to collect that.
Right.
So what we're really trying to do is we get the oil filter changed.
Right.
That is the most part. But then we put the fresh oil back in there.
Right.
And then, we've got all the debris out of there that's floating around in the oil that's going to cause the wear and tear on the motor.
Right, right.
So you should change the filter every time?
Oh, yeah. Change the filter every time.
If it's in doubt, change the filter and don't change the oil.
Yeah.
and we have people all the time that ask us about prices on oil change. And they don't realize that the dealer's probably the cheapest place you can get to oil change.
It is.
It really is. So anyway, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back. We'll carry on with this after we get back from the break.
I pulled in a roadhouse in Texas, a little place called Hamburger Dan. I stuck me a quarter in the jukebox, and I played the song The Truck Driving Man. And the waitress, she brought me some coffee. I thanked her and I called her back again. I said, that old song sure does fit me, 'cause darling, I'm a truck driving man. Pour me another cup of coffee, 'cause it is the best in the land. And put another quarter in the jukebox, and play the song The Truck Driving Man.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106.
Boy, this hour went by quick.
It has been, for sure.
We've covered a lot of territory, but one of the things that we haven't talked about is the fact that the CBD store of West Mobile out on Hillcrest there across from Waffle House and the Winn-Dixie and all there at Gerby Road. It's still there. They're doing an outstanding job. Joe Brown is the owner and manager, and he's usually on the floor. Very, very knowledgeable of the CBD products, and I love the fact that he can answer most any question you may have about it because that's all he's done for the last few years. And they have about 500 stores, the organization that he works with and is his supplier. So he's getting new knowledge into his facility every day, so you're not getting old information. And he's doing a lot of things for our local charities here in the Mobile area. And he's going to do, I think, 10 or 12 that he's doing around Christmas time. For each day, there'll be a different charity that he's allocating some money for that they'll get a percentage that day for whatever is bought in the store. And, well, they'll get a minimum of $100. So they know they're going to get a $100 guarantee for that. So CBD store of West Mobile on Hillcrest. Ask for Mr. Joe Brown, and he will take care of just about anything that you may have.
It's across from Waffle House.
Across from the Waffle House, Winn-Dixie there at Gerber's, the intersection of Gerber and on the Hillcrest side.
Yep. I also want to remind everybody, get out to UJ Chevrolet and check out the inventory.
Y'all got any Santa Claus cars?
I'm sure we got some red ones. That's
y'all
close
got
enough.
Some you can put a big bow on.
I was going to say,
I'm surprised
buy it
I haven't
don't
seen
have
the
bow.
Bows on them yet. Because there will be bows.
There
on
will
the cars,
be bows.
I promise you.
All right.
I haven't talked to anybody, but I promise you there will be.
There will be bows.
I know they got some Black Friday. I know they had a sale going on this weekend, and still kind of going on now because we've been constantly getting cars ready to deliver
over
the last couple
Cyber
of days.
Cyber Mondays take it over now.
Yep, and so they've got some good deals on the vehicles, great inventory. They just piled about 25 or 30 more on top of me today to get ready.
That's
great. To put out on the lot. But, when you're moving 60 or 70 new cars a month or more, you got to get a new bunch of new ones ready to put out there.
You got to replace those 60 or 70 with 60 or 70 more.
You got to keep them flowing through if you want to have anything on the lot.
That's why they have a service department to keep in detail of it, get them up, keep them up to date.
Yeah. That's kind of what the deal was years ago is the service department was a necessary evil. Then they figured out they might make a little money off of it once in a while, too. So it's we've kind of turned them around a little bit on that. Yep, but cars, we're still there to get and keep the new cars
rolling. Cars have warranty on them, and then when the warranty is needed, the repairs are needed for under a warranty program, they need to come back to the service department.
Exactly. But good people at UJ, been there since 1940.
Woo!
Good family-owned store, the only family-owned Chevrolet store in the area. Come out and give them a chance. I think they'll treat you right.
And Tom,
they will.
Tom, didn't you want to encourage people to go out and buy some toys?
Yeah, well, I wanted to also remind them
and
again.
Don't wrap them.
That yes, non-wrap toys for Toys for Tots at the Ed Seafood Restaurant. It'll be this Saturday and Sunday. Santa Claus will be there. If you got some kids that haven't had the chance to see him yet, come over and have breakfast. And I understand it was from 9 to 11, 2 hours on Saturday and 9 to 11 on Sunday morning. So I want to get you Rise and Shine breakfast, get some of the good old Southern style breakfasts, and all you old country boys that hadn't had any fried bologna lately, get you some fried bologna.
Yep. And they got some good vittles, no doubt.
Man, they got some, what do you call it, cornmeal pancakes?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a cornmeal pancake.
I think I'm going to try that when I go over there this weekend.
I've had corn fritters. Do you think it'd be
Had those now. Yeah,
absolutely.
I wasn't hungry until we started the show.
Are we about through? I'm ready to go. I think I could still. No, I don't know. They'll be closed by the time I get there.
Yeah, we got to hang in for another 5 minutes or so.
But if we go silent the next time we're on the air talking about it, y'all don't think nothing about it. Said, okay, that boy's going to get something to eat.
That's exactly right. Just listen to the silence until we get back.
Yep. I tell you what, I come up with a great idea for safety on the interstate over the weekend coming back from Texas.
Take the old highway.
Not be on it.
There needs to be a divider between the two directions that you can't see through.
Oh.
So that way if something happens on one side, the other side doesn't have to stop and look at it.
But what would the rubberneckers do?
Well, they'll be on by and they won't realize that they missed anything. Yeah, so they'll just have to keep on going.
Whatever we envision for that, we need to bring it over to the tunnels. And we need to let those damn people know that there's no water at the bottom of that hole. You don't have to slow down to 30 miles an hour going through the tunnel.
I also come to another realization that, it's not just the fact that you're going into a tunnel, a hole in the water to go through that
it's
you have
dark
to stop
down there,
with,
man.
That scares people. It's if you're going up a bridge, you got to stop at the top or something. I don't know, because it'll be backed up for days behind the bridge. As soon as you get to the top, you can't see a car. It is totally clear. Ain't nobody slowed down. They're gone.
They're sightseeing,
like,
man.
What was the problem getting on this bridge?
Quickie.
I call them gawkers.
Yeah. First time we ever went through Atlanta, we didn't know about the circular route around it, so we went right through town on 85.
Yep.
And there was a MARTA bus in the lanes going the other way that was on fire, burning down to the axles. And I promise you, everybody in front of us was slowing down to 15 to 20 miles an hour.
Sleet of fire.
Look at that burning bus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go home and get out your computer. Get it on YouTube. I promise you, somebody videoed it.
Get it off their cell phone.
Yeah, you can look at it all you want to when you get home.
But 20 miles an hour on an 8-lane interstate is no fun.
The problem you get into is that it's 80 mile an hour
coming
and
up.
You're running on and running down the road, and then all of a sudden they're stopped.
Oh, yeah.
That's where the caller's son got run into from behind earlier.
Something sounds like that.
Something slowed them down, and somebody wasn't paying
attention.
I drove
my sister through Atlanta about 30 years ago, and we went up 85, and she smokes. And next thing I know, she wasn't in the seat beside me. She's on the floorboard. Would you please give me another cigarette? I can't watch that traffic. I can't do this. I said, if I slow down, I'm going to get run over, girl.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, I was in.
We don't look behind us in, whatever you do. So yeah,
we were going through Jacksonville one time, and traffic had come to a complete stop.
Oh, yeah.
We missed the bypass road coming back from Cape Canaveral. And somebody I know in the car really had to pee bad.
Charlie!
And that's a story for another night, I guess.
That's not good language on here when they talk.
Well, I know that, but what do you do?
Yep.
You know, and as soon as you open the door, where are you going to go? You know, there was like three lanes on one side. And
well,
two
you
on
jump
the
out and you go around there and you get one of our blankets and you hold a blanket up and block it off and just tell her, go ahead, baby.
Yep.
Well, my life was flashing before my eyes.
That's right.
Sure.
Well, if they get close enough to you, won't have to worry about it no more. So, don't, it won't be a problem. But, I tell you.
Too much fun, Charlie.
It just depends.
Yep. You know, there was several pileups on the way back from Texas, and thank God I was
not headed
west yesterday.
Glad you were not involved with any of them.
We weren't involved, and there wasn't anything really on our side of the interstate, but there was several of the onlookers, looky-loos, that had to slow down and check out what was going on in the westbound lane, and we had a lot of backup there. They got to do something about it. But anyway, sounds like we've come up to the end of our show. And I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Cameron Oakle, along with Tom Claxton. And I'll be back next week. You going to be around?
I will be here as far as I know.
Okay.
Creeks don't rise, and I don't get washed off overboard somewhere.
Yep. Sounds good to me.
All right. Y'all have a blessed one. Big hoorah to all of our vets.